You're listening to the Gospel Project for Preschooling Kids Weekly Leader Training, helping you teach your kids the big story of the Bible. Welcome once again to the Leader Training Podcast for the Gospel Project for Preschool and Kids. I'm Brian Dombosik, and with me is Karen Jones. This week, we're talking about Unit 19, Session 4, Jesus Was Dedicated. So, Karen,
yes.
What's the big idea of this session?
Well, as the title of the story would indicate, that Jesus was dedicated. He was dedicated to the Lord, and he was also recognized as the Messiah who would free God's people. So I love that he was dedicated. I mean, he was treated just like all the other Jewish babies would have been according to God's law. And then, too, we see Simeon and Anna just affirming that he's more than an ordinary baby. Yeah. He is the one we've been waiting for, the one who was promised.
So we try to be, you know, pretty much on the nose with our session titles.
Yeah, exactly. It makes it easier for you as leaders to know where we're going.
We try to be. I know adults and students, they like to have a little bit more creative, kind of catchy titles, but we, let's be straightforward and let's be on the nose.
Yeah, I think
it helped.
Make it
plain.
Yeah, I think, honestly, we purposefully did that, just so you know, when we were prepping, because I think it's just easier for you as a leader to know, hey, this is what the story's about. You don't need our clever titles. You need to get prepped and ready to teach your kids.
All right, so let's talk about a few areas of caution or anything needing extra prep time for, Karen. So is there anything, maybe especially in the preschool content?
Yeah, I'll just tell y'all guys something I think would just be really cool that I think you should do. And we offered it as like a storytelling tip. But Brian talked about in one of the previous podcast episodes about how, you know, we're talking about Jesus being fully God, fully man. We don't want to elevate one over the other, but also don't think we want to miss an opportunity to help little ones understand Jesus was a real in the flesh baby. And so I think if you could get a family, a mom and dad, maybe to bring their baby to class, I just think that would be so cool. And again, definitely follow your church's security procedures, and even just, you know, health stuff. You know, don't let a bunch of preschoolers get up in the face of a baby. I mean, the mom would freak out and leave anyway.
Exactly.
But, you know, just to let them see, maybe they can touch the baby's feet or ask questions. But I think that's a great opportunity. And, you know, just some other things. I try to look ahead at the sessions before we record these, you know, to see. I just know as a leader, the more you can know is coming ahead of time. So I know things happen, and, you know, maybe waking up Sunday morning and like, oh, I need to get ready for my lesson. And
no, nobody ever does that.
We know you all don't, but some people, they do that.
Some people are probably listening to this on their way in.
Yes, yeah. Which, yeah.
We hope you have a safe drive.
Yeah. The Lord will help you. It's okay. But we have an activity with Mural where you can, cut out a mural where you're cutting out magazine things. But if you can do that ahead of time for the little guys, it's going to just save you a lot of headache, cutting people out of magazines and circulars. And two, you know, if you have a stash of those, sometimes they can get kind of like raggedy. So it might be good to restock and, you know, clean out some things and get those ready.
If the people are wearing like leisure suits or something like that, it's...
Might be time to update. So those are just some things I thought about, and getting prepped. Again, I think I mentioned it in previous podcasts too. You're going to see in preschool, we do have some activities that involve words. I just want to encourage you again to not be afraid of it. We want them to get used to seeing words, to understand. One of the other things I was noticing as I was flipping through the session is that we have an activity that involves like words and kind of spelling. And I mentioned this in a previous podcast, but I just don't want to miss the opportunity, you know, to reiterate that. But we want you to not be afraid of activities with even three-year-olds that gets them looking at words, because ultimately the Bible is a book. And it has words in it. But one of the things we're wanting to teach them is that the Bible is for them, too. And so even though they can't read words yet, you know, you may have some kindergartners who can, but I would be shocked if many of your three-year-olds are reading. But don't be afraid of those activities, and don't expect perfection with them. Just let them have fun. And to get them holding the Bible, using the Bible, so they know that it's for them.
Yeah, and again, you said this before, I'll say it again, that preschool leader guide is crafted for a pretty diverse, broad age range. I mean, you're talking anywhere from twos or threes up to fives or even sixes.
Yeah.
And so we have to be careful to have some activities that those older preschoolers can do, but at times it may make it a little bit harder for the younger and vice versa. So
yeah.
Unfortunately, just one of the realities that we live in. And so just be aware of that as a preschool leader.
Yeah.
The concern or caution I would have, and it's actually an incredible opportunity as well from a kid's perspective, would be to understand what's going on here. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about Jesus being dedicated, and then we can kind of move past, and we get Simeon and Anna, and there's some great stuff there. But don't rush past the dedication. What's going on here takes us all the way back to Exodus 13, where God basically declared that he owns the firstborn of everything, of every family, every child, every animal. The firstborn belongs to God, and therefore the parents would have to basically redeem them from God because that firstborn belonged to God. And why this is important is because it echoes back to the Passover. If you remember the story of God delivering the children of Israel from Egypt, remember that final plague was death of the firstborn. In order for the firstborn Israelite babies to be spared, they would have died as well had they not slaughtered a lamb and painted the blood over the doorway. That was their way of redeeming that firstborn. And so this dedication ties back to that. And so I would there's a little bit of caution there, depending on your age group. If you choose to kind of explain what's going on here, or if a kid asks, that's really what's at play here. However, I would encourage you as leaders to consider bringing this to bear, especially for older kids, because it's a beautiful reminder of who Jesus is, what he would do.
Yeah.
So here's Mary and Joseph basically dedicating, redeeming Jesus, saying he belongs to God so that Jesus would do what? Would live the perfect life and then lay down his life as the spotless lamb for the sins of the world. So there's a great connection there to the gospel that you can choose to pursue, again, especially if you have older kids. But if you have preschooler or younger kids that may not be ready for that kind of thought process, then you just want to be aware of it.
Yeah, and definitely that's a great way to help them see that whole grand narrative of Scripture that Jesus was planned from, you know, throughout all of it from the very beginning. So I would, if you can do that, I absolutely would.
Okay, so let's talk about what we're excited about in this session, what God may do through this session. You know, for me, this is a great session, not only for what I just talked about, but it's also when we shift gears to Simeon and Anna and then thinking of in terms of Mary and Joseph and then broadening this a little bit. Think about the whole birth narrative up to this point and think about the diversity of people that we've encountered already. And it's not by accident. What God is doing is he's showing us that Jesus was the Savior of all the world. So today in this session, we see Israel's faithful. We see Simeon and Anna, an older man and woman who were faithful, were longing for the Redeemer to come. Mm-hmm. And we interact with them. They recognize Jesus. They worship. Before this, we saw Jesus being announced to the shepherds. And those were social outcasts. Mm-hmm. You have the faithful, you have outcasts from within the Jewish world.
Yeah.
And then also don't forget those wealthy Gentiles that will be coming down later after this, those wise men. Who are going to be traveling at this time. They're probably on their way.
Yeah.
But it's going to take them a while to get there. They will get to visit Jesus when he's a child, not a baby.
Yeah.
So next Christmas, when you set up your manger scene, do not put the wise men in there. They were not there.
Put them way off in the distance.
Put them way off in the distance facing that way. We know that the scriptures say that they visited Jesus when he was a child. The scriptures did not speak of Jesus being a baby. Mm-hmm. And they entered a house, not the manger scene. So, yeah. Anyway. Separate issue. But we see that God was also the Savior for the Gentiles. So you have wealthy, educated Gentiles. And you just see what God is doing here through this greater birth narrative, early childhood narrative.
Yeah.
You see that God is showing that Jesus was for all humanity. And then, of course, Mary and Joseph being probably poorer on the spectrum here. So Jesus is for all, not just for one, not just for the faithful, not just for the Jews. He's for all humanity.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things I think I just learned recently in the last few years was just, it's interesting the detail about the two turtle doves, because that, as you mentioned earlier, that was the offering that was meant for the people who couldn't afford, you know, the better offering. So I just think it's amazing that, you know, Jesus, King over everything, he comes to a family, and not a wealthy family, but a poor family. You know, just his humility over and over again in identifying with us and our need.
Yeah. Karen, did you have anything else?
I think that's great. Yeah, I'm excited to see how you guys enjoy this session, what your kids get out of it. Yeah.
Sounds good. All right, so we'll wrap it up there. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the podcast. We hope that you have found it helpful as you prepare to teach the Gospel Project for kids and preschool. For more information and helpful resources, visit gospelproject.com.